Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio ministry. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
In your opinion, who is the most influential Christian who has lived in the last 100 years? That's a tough question, but we're going to try to discuss it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, before this earth was ever formed, and even after it ceases to be, you will still be God. Will you break into our short span of life today, and let us see through the marvels of your word the importance of bowing humbly before your throne of grace, there to find forgiveness, strength, and direction. Bless us to that end in the service today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Oh,
friends in Christ. We were sitting around the dinner table one day when our granddaughter, who had just completed the fifth grade, asked her grandmother and myself, "Who do you think was the greatest president of our country during your lifetime?" Now, that's a rather tricky question because you don't want to get into too much of a political argument in the family circle. Trying to leave all politics aside and just being objective, my answer to her was Franklin D. Roosevelt. And then she wanted to ask me why. And I said, well, he had to deal with some very difficult questions. We were fighting World War II, both in Europe and in the South Pacific. It was very, very difficult to see those boys go to war, suffer, and die. And besides that, he had to deal with a depression that had swept over our whole land, and there were many people who lived in the midst of poverty. Those are questions that are very, very difficult to answer. There were other answers that came around, some Republicans and so forth, and we'll not get into that now, but it is an interesting question. Who is the greatest president? We could just as well have applied that to other particular work. Who is the greatest philosopher? Who is the greatest musician? Who is the greatest athlete? And so it goes on. We are always anxious to find one, label him or her as the greatest. At least I like to do that. I like to identify someone with real greatness. Now, I can imagine that a minister and a group of them together could ask that same question, and the question would be, who is the greatest? Who has made the greatest contribution to the kingdom of God during our years in the ministry? Well, if you are of an evangelical nature, as I happen to be, it wouldn't take me long to answer that question. If you want to identify it with one particular person, I would have to say Billy Graham. I believe that, that Billy Graham, during the years that I've been in the ministry, has been God's great man of the hour, called to do so many different things of such great importance, found his way to the White House again and again to give advice to the president of the land. A man who could talk to millions of people in one crusade after another. That'd be my man. But then it would be somebody who would be more of a social activist, and he would say, well, I certainly agree that Dr. Graham has done a great deal, but I think that I would have to vote for Martin Luther King. You see, I happen to be a black person, and I know what he has done for our people. So my vote goes to Dr. King. Another person sitting there who is trained in technical theology and spends his life just reading the theologians and teaching theological students would say, well, I understand your popular opinions, but I want you to know that I would have to vote for Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that great theologian from Union Theological Seminary in New York, who left the confines of that beautiful place where he was so safe and went to die on the gallows at Flossenbürg under Adolf Hitler. He was a man who was talking about the real cost of discipleship. And then probably another person who might have been of the Roman Catholic Church would have said, well, I come from a little different family, and I would have to say that I believe the greatest person, as far as our church is concerned in the last 100 years, has to be Pope John the 23rd, who supposedly opened the windows and let in a fresh breath of air for our people. And so there could be something said about all of them. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? A very, very common and interesting question that is asked again and again. And it was asked one day by the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ to the Savior. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Lord? And then Jesus, in a very dramatic way, called a little child, put him up on his lap, and said to him, and said to them, I tell you the truth. Unless you change, or the old King James Version used to say, unless you are converted and become like this little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, why? He says that because the child is humble. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Quite a surprise it was. I'm sure that those disciples might have thought that he would name a particular person. They could have thought that he might once again say that John the Baptist was the greatest who had ever been born of woman. For you know, at one time earlier than this particular incident, that is the answer that Jesus gave. No one is greater than John the Baptist, born of woman. But then he turned around and said, and yet I say to you, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And so he doesn't seem to want to mention any names today, but rather he wants to deal with a quality. And that quality is humility. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So it isn't one person. It is a mass of humanity. But all of these people who are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven are those who have in their being a humble spirit. I looked up the meaning of that word humility in my dictionary, and it is defined as one who is not proud or haughty, nor arrogant nor assertive, but he reflects a spirit of submission. This is a characteristic that is found in a child, but it isn't very long as a child grows in years that that whole matter of humility seems to be lost. The first week in July, I taught at a family Bible camp where there were 200 people present. 100 of them were children ranging from infancy to 12 years of age. Now, my assignment was to speak to the 100 adults who were there, but I obviously lived in the camp, and I had the opportunity to observe 48 families in action. What an interesting week it really was. With this text in the back of my mind, because I was preparing the sermon, I watched these children. I watched these families. Those little children, babes in arms, who were completely 100% dependent on someone else to care for their needs. And then I saw the toddlers. You know, those who had entered into the terrible twos, they had just learned to walk a little bit and they were going to defy their fathers and their mothers. If they didn't get their way, they'd begin to scream and holler. They were trying to be independent, but not yet ready to move on out into their old world. And then there were those who were getting to be the older children. They were approaching the teens. They were beginning to observe themselves and who they happened to be. And they wanted to be as independent as they possibly could. So during the course of the week, they tried to stay as far away from their fathers and mothers as they possibly could. And when mom and dad would call to them, they would come, but reluctantly. And then often they would fly off as quickly as they could. I want to be on my own. How interesting. And how amusing to watch the frustration, but the love and the patience of the parents as they watch their children developing their own independence. It is true, isn't it, that in most of life we strive for independent living. When we raise our children and we want them to be healthy, we're anxious to say to them, you've got to learn to be independent. And yet we don't want them too independent. For example, it isn't very long before mother says, well, you can do this. You pick up your toys now. You can do that just as well as mother can. And then they get a little bit older. And before you go to school, I want you to make your bed. Mommy or daddy have been doing this for a long time, but now you do it. And you have to be independent of us and seeing that your room is kept clean. Sometimes we hear parents say to those children who are getting older, and a decision has to be made, yeah, we're willing to help you make that decision, but we want you to think about it yourself. What do you think? What is the best answer to the question that is on your mind right now? And then we come to that time when we have to really begin to let them go. I heard a mother say not long ago, "We left our son home when we went on this vacation. It's the first year that we've ever left him alone home. And this year we not only leave him alone home, but we leave him with a car. For recently he got his license and now he's driving and he's out on those highways. Now we depend upon him to be a faithful son, and he is. He's very mature, and we know that he isn't going to do anything that we don't want him to do. But there is the danger of just letting go. And yet parents know that if the child is going to be healthy, he has to learn to be independent. One of the criticisms that some of us have of the government from time to time is that they take so much of our independence away from us, and they're going to provide something for us from the cradle to the grave until it breaks down that initiative that we need to take care of ourselves. But it's a pretty good item on the agenda for the politicians when they say, well, if you vote for me, this is what you'll get, and that's what you'll get. I kind of rebel against that. No, I don't want the government to give me any more than I absolutely have to have from them. I have that responsibility myself that I find in the Word of God, and that is obviously the way that I have been raised. And now as we get older and we begin to think about getting weaker and not being able to do the things that we once were able to do, we have to think about the retirement centers. I know that they're very, very fine places to go. But when that time comes that I have to go there, if that time should come, then I'm anxious to be in that section of the retirement center where there is independent living, where I can probably get up and make my breakfast and my lunch and go for the main meal, where I don't have to mow the lawn, where I don't have to do some other physical labor. But I want to be as independent as I possibly can. Sure, that's natural, that's right, that's the way that God intends it to be, I believe. But in the midst of all of this independent living, there is a place, and that's what our Lord Jesus is talking about today, where we are dependent. We are completely dependent upon Him. So that we cannot contribute one single thing ourselves. If you break your arm, you're not independent anymore. You have to go to the orthopedic surgeon. He is the one who's got to take care of your arm. You can't. You don't know how. If you have a howling toothache at 3 o'clock in the morning, you need a dentist. There's nothing that you can do to relieve yourself of that pain. If you've gotten into some legal battle and the law is too confusing for you at that particular point, you have to seek out an attorney to get some legal advice. So it is, my friend, as far as our relationship with God is concerned. When I see myself in the wretched state that I am in, there is no way that I can enter the kingdom of God unless before the throne of grace and the cross of Calvary, I confess, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. There's something about the human nature. They may cry out for the doctor from time to time when it is necessary, the attorney or whoever else it might be. But it sometimes takes a long time before they are willing to cry out, "Oh God, be merciful to me." We live sometimes with this idea that I don't need Jesus Christ. I can control my own behavior. Oh, can you? Then why don't you? I can live a good enough life that when it comes to the end, God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what you might hear at the funeral service, but it isn't necessarily so. I have a good mind and an education, and I don't have to buy this funny idea that someone dying on a cross for me 2,000 years ago is the only way that I can have my sins forgiven and be brought into the kingdom of heaven. I am a strong person, and I will face difficulties without any crutches that come from the church. The Lord says, I don't care who you are. I don't care how prominent you are. And I don't care how many people would vote for you being the greatest in your area of life. Unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be humble. Lord Jesus, here I come. It's when I have this attitude that I am on the way to greatness in the kingdom of heaven. It's when I have this attitude, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, that he reaches out and through the merits of Jesus Christ will grant me the forgiveness of my sin, that he will give me strength, that he will give me guidance, and that in his word he will lead me all the way, and in my prayer he will hear my supplication. The history books are filled with great people of God, but they are not necessarily the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Greatest in the kingdom of heaven are those who walk faithfully with God, acknowledging every day that they are completely dependent upon him. For from him come all of life's blessings. And that's the answer as to who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, according to Jesus. Amen. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will build within us a humble spirit. We know that you alone are able to do it, for in and of ourselves we are anxious to let it go our own way and to handle these problems as we think best. Grant that we may come daily to your throne of grace, there asking, O God, for only those gifts that you can give. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that this worship service has been uplifting and comforting to you. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from you, our listeners. Sometimes donors choose to honor someone special in their lives with an honorarium gift to us. The occasion may be an anniversary, birthday, or other special day. The names of all those listed on honorarium gifts are published each quarter in our newsletter, The Crusader. We appreciate your honorarium gifts and enjoy being a part of your family's celebrations. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. We now have a daily scripture verse and reading linked to a devotional. Spend a few quiet moments each day with God's Word at your computer. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.